It's great that Yvonne is here, and she also wants us to make sure everybody knows she's received a very hopeful diagnosis and receiving good treatment. So Yvonne, Yvonne's right there, sending your love. Surrounded by love. If you will allow me, I'd like to tell you about a friend of mine named Frank. I met Frank and I were friends for a number of years living together in Washington, D.C. And Frank let me know that he had served a number of years in prison in Virginia before he and I knew each other. From his sharing to me a little bit about an average day of jail, prison, in the life of Frank. Wake up in a 9x12 cell. Cellmate above in the bunk says that the guy he bunked with the longest period of time was the worst at snoring. That was frustrating, but he actually said it was sad that he preferred that because that bunkmate was so negative and fear-based in his talking, always talking about negativity and fear, that Frank just couldn't take it. Frank was trying to get sober from his alcoholism, and the majority of the time, he never had AA available to him, never any recovery programs to go to and get support, so he'd just kind of grind it out, white-knuckle his time of sobriety through prison. Frank was grateful that at one point he got switched to a job. Everybody had a job, and he got switched to the kitchen duty, which was good news, not so much because it involved mopping and cutting vegetables, preparing food, but because he got out of the factory where they were making license plates and getting paid 87 cents an hour. And Frank and a number of his friends were certain, doing the assessment, that you were much less likely to get out on good time if you were in the factory, because they didn't want to lose the laborers that they had trained and were paying 87 cents an hour to. So in the kitchen, they would be more likely to let you go back home to community. Frank said, you cannot know the value of that picture he had, often taped up to the wall, but he would sometimes just hold it next to his heart, of his two daughters bowling. He said, I've looked at my two daughters bowling more than I can ever tell you, and it saved my life some days. Here we are on Thanksgiving weekend. It's good to reflect theologically on what it means. So, I ask, Thanksgiving theology, you would think it means when there is a good thing in your life, a blessing, you give thanks. Count your blessings. And conversely, we ask ourselves, is it true that when there's a pain or a struggle, that you just do your best to not have a significant amount of resentments or regret or self-pity? Is that how we think about it? Or is that a little overly simplistic for a mature human being's theology of Thanksgiving? Why are we talking about mass incarceration on the day we're giving thanks? Why am I talking about Frank's pain on the day when we're giving thanks? Well, the reason is that I think we all benefit from encouraging one another to think about those broken times that turned us towards something better. When is it possible for you authentically in your heart to give thanks for suffering that was a catalyst for change? In church, we must honestly declare that sometimes life simply happens in terrible ways. There are no guarantees. Last week, I was with the children, and they needed to talk about what had happened in Paris. And they wanted to know, can you guarantee that we will be safe? And I said, I can guarantee you that the adults of this church and a lot of other adults in the world are going to give 110% commitment to try and keep you safe. And I can guarantee you that life and breath and love are powerful, but I cannot guarantee that we'll keep you safe because life is unfair sometimes. It's very difficult, but we've got to give our children that real message that we start dealing with the paradoxes and ambiguities of life. This is the holiday with paradoxes and ambiguities. We come out of the time when the Native Americans were invaded, had their lands purchased on the cheap, which basically went to the extent of having their land stolen. They, in many ways, were massacred off their lands. That's a part of the history of Thanksgiving, which we have to hold up with integrity. And so it's appropriate on this day that we also highlight the fact that we are the nation with the most people in prison in the world. We have about 4.5% of the world's population, and we have about 22% of the world's prison population. And those, it's a very racist system. If you want to go into the stats on that, the first one that I can tell you is people doing drug crimes in America, both buying and selling, over 50% of those people are white. And over 75% of the people in jail for drug crimes are brown. And you could just go into it. It's a tenaciously racist system. And today, we give thanks that out of bleakness can come new blessings. I think there's a bleakness in America with the prison industrial complex, and it's possible for out of that pain can come amazing blessings. Let me tell you a couple personal stories that we will be hearing more about this afternoon that give many of us hope. Ray Rios served many years inside a prison, and Ray got involved with Quaker prison ministry, a group called Alternatives to Violence. This group helped people equip themselves to be conflict mediators in prison and help people to transform their own lives to a better path. And after Ray got out, he came out, serves on the national board, and helps people continue with that spiritual work in their own lives in the community, and he's helping returning citizens get meaningful, sustainable jobs. Out of his worst thing came a best thing. Shakia is a West Philadelphia citizen who's come back from serving time. When she first got out of prison, she got a job with a cleaning company. She did very well. They promoted her to supervisor. Shakia successfully supervised a large team of staff. Now, among other things, she's completely in charge of the cleaning of an entire high school facility in West Philadelphia. And on the side, she has her own business, which cleans homes and small businesses. She employs returning citizens, giving them a new chapter in their lives. Out of her worst thing came a good thing. Now, personally, I do not embrace a theology which states everything happens for a reason. I don't believe that because of the existence of evil and unfair suffering in the world. I don't believe God has a plan for everything. That's just me. I don't believe that. But I do believe that pain can bring hope, and sometimes when doors close, other doors open. So I ask you, you may not identify. I think most all of us know somebody close to us who's been in prison. I might be wrong on that. You may not personally identify with being incarcerated, but I know you can benefit from asking this question. How has suffering ever been a catalyst for positive change in your life? The reality is we all have breakdowns. People get sick, lose their ability to work or do what they love. Careers no longer make sense. Relationships fall apart. Sometimes we just have to declare life is not fair. We got to figure out what to do with it. Can you, with integrity, give thanks for some of the suffering? Buddhism, first truth is suffering. Can you give thanks for it and what it can do for you? Not always true, but many times it can be if we look at it. In his book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, Rabbi Harold Kirshner asks, in the midst of loss, can you still forgive life's imperfections and love life because it's still capable of containing great beauty and goodness, and because it's the only world we have? This is what we got. Last summer, many of us were bowled over with this amazing story, medical renewal right here in Philadelphia 6 years ago. It had the little guy's name is Zion. Who knows about Zion? Okay, so he does. You're going to smile off. 6 years ago, 2-year-old boy named Zion in Philadelphia was hit by a life-threatening infection. To save his life, the doctors had to amputate his hands and his feet, and they got him a kidney transplant. And he dealt with it. Growing up, very positive little, what you see him on the internet talk, he's like a little Buddha boy. He's so positive, strong. And he did what he could. They got him a little kind of sled with wheels that he rolled around on his tummy a lot of times to be mobile. And then the doctors at CHOP wanted to experiment with a miracle, a hand transplant. And for different reasons, they thought Zion would be a good candidate for the first surgery. And he said, yep, I want to hang on the monkey bars, doctor. I want the hand transplant. And the doctor said, they all just started crying, talking to him, getting ready. And then they had 12 hours of surgery with 11 surgeons. And they took, and they started getting life, and they move. And the little guy, he's got a tough rehab. It's painful. But he says, my grandmother says, if you push yourself, you can do anything you dream to do. And he says, out of that worst thing has become gratitude. He's grateful for the littlest things that many of us take for granted. Whether we're talking about the people of Mali or Paris who recently suffered violent attacks, or the massive swaths of communities in America who suffer from mass incarceration, we hold that suffering in our heart. We don't want to be insensitive. We don't want to be naive. But we hold up the chance that sometimes that pain can create solidarity and beloved community. We can use our worst things to create best things sometimes. Barbara Brown Taylor is an excellent pastor and theologian, and she talks about this concept, and she suggests to do a chart, draw a line of your life from your birth to today, and then write down significant growth points, spiritual, emotional, resiliency growth points. And she says that the chart will really have a lot of leaps of growth that come out of pain, in her belief. Not always, but a lot of times pain is the catalyst for growth. She says it'll probably be when your family moved for the fourth time in 5 years and you learned to enjoy your own company before you made a new friend in your new school. She said it'll probably be when your partner left you and you remembered what else you meant to do in your life beyond staying together. It may be when the doctor called about the spot on your lung that you finally went and made up with your sister. These were not the ways you would have chosen or planned to become more of who you are, but they worked. This Thanksgiving, I invite you to consider giving thanks for the chance to change some hell into heaven. Give thanks for the life we do have, even with all its pain and slings and arrows, and give back to the world. Help it make it a better place. Can you give thanks for your best, worst things that helped you to be who you are, want what you have and do what you can. Happy Thanksgiving. Blessings be.